Hey, amen. That's really kind of what I want to talk to you about this morning. The title of my message today is Hungry for a Move of God. Hungry for a Move of God. I sense that in this house. That it's not just me, that you come with this hunger, this desire. And when I say hunger, I mean I'm talking like hunger. You know, sometimes we say that we're hungry, but we're not really hungry. We're just bored, you know? I got a grandson every time he comes to my house. Granddaddy, I'm hungry. And I'm like, boy, you just ate 5 minutes ago. I'm hungry. He's like, he can always be hungry. And I'm not talking about that always. I'm talking about I am hungry for a move of God. I want God to stir in my life. I want God to do something in me like I remember. How many of you can remember a time where God was moving? You remember a time where you were on fire. You remember a time where you were walking in the Spirit of the Lord and the power of God was activated in your life. And yet we let things happen sometimes. Just life and the pull and the tear and you get busy with this and that and priorities get misplaced and I'm hungry for a move of God. Matthew chapter 21. I want to read a story here and talk about some things where Jesus wants to bring revival to the house of the Lord. And it's just amazing. I was listening to the words of the song that the worship team is singing. And don't we have it's an awesome, awesome worship team. Yeah, we do. And it was almost like every line in every song, I was like, yeah, I could use that in my sermon today. I mean, that just goes right along with what the Lord is saying. So if you remember a line or two and I don't, you just know that, yeah, that there's so many of them. But Matthew chapter 21, begin reading at verse 10. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It's written," he said to them, "my house will be called a house of prayer, but you're making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did and the children shouting in the temple area, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they ask him. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read from the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise?" And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. Some of you are probably familiar with the story of Jesus cleansing the temple. But did you realize that there are actually two stories of Jesus cleansing the temple? He did it twice. He did it at the beginning of his ministry, and then he did it again at the end. In John chapter 2, we read that after Jesus performed his first miracle at the wedding of Cana of Galilee, where he turned the water into wine, it says that he went into Jerusalem, and then we read the story of Jesus taking the whip and making the whip and driving out the money changers and cleansing the temple. But that's not the story that I just read to you. The story I just read to you is Matthew's account. Fast forward two or three years at the end of Jesus' ministry, where it's the last week of his ministry, it's the Passion Week, he's going to be crucified in just a matter of days, and he comes back to the temple again, and he finds that things have kind of gone back to where they used to be. Things have settled back into the old routines that had happened years before, where he had moved and he had cleansed the temple and he brought revival and he had established the plan and the purpose of God and said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer, not all of this other stuff that's going on." And now he comes back and he finds that all this other stuff is back in the temple again, and this you know, righteous indignation, whatever you want to call it, rises up inside of him. He says, "This can't be." He has a zeal for the house of the Lord. "This is my Father's house." And so once again, he drives out the money changers, drives out those that are selling the doves and all of the other stuff. And he reestablishes the plan and the purpose of God. You see, Jesus wasn't really interested in the brick and the mortar. It wasn't the rocks and the stone and the 2x4s that had his interest, because Jesus would proclaim about this same temple that it wasn't going to be long before not a rock, not a stone was going to be standing upon itself, that it was going to be totally destroyed. Jesus, he could have done something about it if he wanted to. It wasn't the building that he was interested in. It was the purpose for which the building had been established, as a place for meeting with God. And he wanted to see that established, a place where God's people would relate to him, would move in sync with him, would experience him in all of his power and glory. And this story I want you to see today, it's really not a story about a temple 2,000 years ago. It's not about rocks and stone and of 2,000 years ago, because the Bible says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And what this is a story about what Jesus wants to do in our lives. As I was listening to what Michaela was saying about how that there was a stirring inside of her, that sometimes we get to this place where we're wanting to handle all of the stuff in our life in our own strength and in our own way. And what we really need is God. What we really need is a renewing of His Spirit and a fresh move of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And what this story here is about is what Jesus wants to do inside of us to cleanse us, to empower us, to become the people that He's called to be. And I see in this story a progression of four things that, if you'll track with me this morning, that I believe that it's the order in which Jesus wants to reestablish some things. First of all, He wants to make us a house of purity so that He can make us a house of prayer, so that we can become a house of power and then experience and be a house of praise. And so let's take a look at those. First of all, the house of purity. Jesus entered the temple area, drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. Now, we need to understand what's taking place here, but more than that, we need to really kind of get an understanding of why is it happening. We know that it's not God's plan, because remember, a few years earlier, Jesus had already established, this is not right, this is not the way it's supposed to be, this is my Father's house, it's a house of prayer. But why? Why had this settled back in? And really, I think you could sum it up in one word. It was just a matter of convenience. You see, there was only one temple for the Jewish people in that day. There wasn't a church on every street corner like we've got here in Tulsa. I mean, some of you probably drove by two or three churches to get here today. You could have easily done that. But in their day, there wasn't a church on every. There was only one temple, only one place where you could offer the sacrifices that were required by Moses in the Old Testament law. Only one place, this one place in Jerusalem at the temple. There were some synagogues, there were some teaching places, but only one temple. And so people from everywhere had to come to this place, whether you lived in Jerusalem, or whether you lived in one of the towns outside of Jerusalem, or whether you even lived in another nation somewhere outside of Israel. And so these visitors would come, these travelers, these worshipers, they would come to Jerusalem. And when they got there, they would have to offer their sacrifices. They would have to pay the temple taxes. And so when they would get there, you know, instead of bringing an ox or a lamb for 100 miles to come and to sacrifice, they were like, well, let's just make it easy for everybody. And we'll sell them the lamb or the ox or the turtle dove or whatever they need to fulfill the law. We'll just sell it to them once they get here. Why, you know, if it's going to be sacrificed in the temple, why can't we just sell it here? Same thing with the foreign currency that they would come with, but they had to pay the temple tax in the Hebrew shekel. And so let's just exchange it. If it's got to be paid, we might as well exchange it here. And so as a matter of convenience, somebody say convenience. They settle back into these things that aren't really what God is desiring. And it's really easy to look at them and to be critical, but you know, the truth of the matter is a lot of us today worship God when it's convenient, and we don't when it's not. We serve God when it's convenient. We come to church when it's convenient. We'll pay our tithes or give our offering if it's convenient. You know, we'll do whatever. But you know, that other stuff that you're asking me to do, you know, that's not really convenient, you know. That's not going to be easy. You mean you want me to actually lead a small group? You want me to invite some people to come over to my house and start talking to them and discipling them about Jesus? You want me to connect with somebody that may be a brand new convert, pastor, give them my phone number? And, you know, they might call me in the middle of the night when it's not really convenient and say, hey, man, I'm really struggling and I need some help. And you're my mentor, you're my partner, and I need you. And, you know, that's not really, I'm not ready to sign up for that. See, but we still want God to move. We still want God to move. God, I want you to bless me, bless me, bless me. You know, Jesus didn't make serving him a matter of convenience, did he? You know, when the rich young ruler comes to Jesus, he's like, I want to inherit eternal life. He's like, this is an easy one. I mean, this is easy picking. We can put this one in the basket right now, Jesus. And Jesus makes it hard. He's like, no. He says, if you're going to follow me, here's what you ultimately got to do. You're going to have to sell everything you got, give it to the poor, and then come follow me. It's not a matter of convenience. It's not a matter. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you have to take up the cross daily. Not just when you want to. Not just on Sundays. Daily and follow me. So there's this convenience thing, but I need to get back to this thing about purity, because Jesus is saying to us that if we're going to be a worshiper, it can't be just a matter of convenience, but there's going to have to be a purity in our lives, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, in fact, 1 Corinthians 6 and 9 says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. Listen, if we're going to experience the move of God that God wants to pour out, and I believe with all my heart that God wants us to experience revival. I believe, it's a crazy world we're living in, and I'm not some kind of an end times prophet, so I'm not going to tell you, you know, we're going to experience World War III and Jesus is coming, or Jesus is coming and then World War III, or, you know, or anything. I'm just telling you, we're living in some perilous times. We're living in the signs of the times kind of times. And we got to be aware of that. But I believe that God doesn't just want to come and rapture his church out of here. I believe before he takes us out of here, he wants to get his church ready for an end-time harvest to catch as many people, bring them into the kingdom of God so that they can all enjoy heaven with us. I believe that God wants to do an outpouring of his Holy Spirit in this day, but he's not going to be able to do it with people who've got clutter in their spiritual lives that's getting in their way. I walked out of the house this morning. We were getting in the car in the garage there, and my wife looks at me and she says, you gotta clean this garage. How many of you gotta clean this garage? And of course I'm looking at it going, well, that's my daughter's stuff, you know, that's not mine, you know. But there's clutter. She said, I almost tripped. You know, spiritually, I think some of us are tripping over the clutter in our lives, and we're not getting to the place where God wants us to be. We're not experiencing the things that God wants us to be. And we just need to do some, garage cleaning in our lives. We need to do a house cleaning. We need to say, Holy Spirit, come inside. Holy Spirit, I give you permission. Search my heart. Turn the spotlight on. Let's sweep this thing clean. Whatever's in my life that doesn't need to be there, Lord, let's get it rid of it. Let's deal with it now. Let's put it on the cross. Let's crucify it. I want to live for Jesus, and I don't want all this sin and bad attitudes and anything else in my life. Lord, I want you to cleanse me and make me holy and pure so that the Spirit of the Lord can dwell inside of me. Amen. Amen. But it doesn't stop there. See, after we become a house of purity, the second thing is that Jesus made it back into the original purpose for which it was designed, and that was a house of prayer. My house shall be called a house of prayer. That's really what we're all about. Now, there's a lot of other things that we do, and there's nothing wrong with all of the other things that we do as a part of the church. I mean, building the kingdom, there's a lot of facets to building the kingdom of God. But at its base, at its core, we are a people of prayer. That has to be central to what we're doing. If we think that we're going to experience a moving of the Spirit of the Lord by just tacking a little prayer into our lives every once in a while, then, hey, you know, I'm the bearer of bad news. That's just not going to cut it. We're going to have to get to the place to where we have been restored to the purpose. My house should be called a house of prayer. It's what we do. It's who we are. We're people who commune with the Lord, and we recognize the importance of that. And so coming back, and it's not that we don't, again, it's not that we don't pray. It's that we kind of just fit prayer in where we need to fit prayer in. Like, oh man, my life is in a mess. I guess I really ought to pray right now. Yeah, I pray. No, that's not the kind of praying that we're talking about. We're talking about the kind of prayer that's seeking the face of God and saying, Lord, not here's my plan, will you bless it, but Lord, what is it that is your plan? How many of you know God's blessing his plan? God's already blessing his plan. We just got to find out what is his plan. So prayer needs to be not the blessing place, but the birthing place where the Lord's speaking to us and say, this is the direction, this is what you need to be doing. And then out of that, we flow in that relationship and that communication with the Lord. You know, there are all kinds of opportunities to pray. Here in this church, there's all kinds of opportunities. I mean, T-Hop's meeting here 40-plus hours. You want a place to pray, you can come here, pretty much find a place to pray almost any time. There's corporate times for prayer, you know, on Wednesday nights. We've got prayer time from 5:30 to 6:30. Would love to have some of you come and join us in that. And we're going to be really doing some emphasis on prayer in the weeks to come because we really want to get ready for revival. I mean, we want to see and experience a move of God. You know, and talking about revival, I don't know how God orchestrates all of the things, and I don't, you know, it. If you know what God's doing, I don't really want to hear your opinion about everything that God's doing, because I don't think you know everything that God's doing, okay? I mean, you know, you may have a little glimpse here and there, but anyhow, most of the time I see what he's done, and I'm going, yep, that was God, But God does want to reveal his plans to us. I'm not saying that he doesn't, but he'll move things and orchestrate things in ways that sometimes you don't really see. You're like, okay, God, what are you doing here? I sense something that's happening, and here in our city in the next month, it's like the Lord's just kind of setting us up for revival. It's almost like, if you want to have revival, I'm going to put all the ingredients that you need there. And then it's kind of like, you want to jump on that or not. But some special people that are going to be coming into town. Most of us are familiar with John and Carol Arnott. They've been here multiple times. They're really like, they carry a revival flame with them. They're going to be with us. In fact, guys, if you'll put up, there's a whole lot of things. Not only John and Carol Arnott, but Heidi Baker. How many of you know that, recognize the name Heidi Baker? I mean, she's from South Africa or one of the African nations. I forget which one. Which is it? Mozambique in Africa. And the Lord is just using her, mighty signs and wonders and miracles, just incredible things that are happening. And it's like the Lord is just bringing all that together. We've been doing this unity and community services, gathering together with other churches in our area and just really praying in to revival, believing that God wants to do that. And here we got this opportunity, have John and Carol, they're going to be with us on Tuesday night, April the 19th, and then the following Monday night, they're going to be, well, Carol's going to be Saturday morning, John and Carol are going to be ministering at Harvest Church on Sunday night, and then Heidi's going to be here on Monday night and over in Broken Arrow. Opportunities for the body of Christ to come together. Listen, let me just talk about that for a second, because revival is not just one church having goosebumps. Amen. Let me just say that again. Revival is not just one church having some goosebumps. Spiritual goosebumps, and we call it revival. Revival is something that, if it's real revival, I mean, the whole body of Christ ought to be experiencing that, whether they go to this church or that church or the other church. And there's something that happens when churches come together in unity and we begin to pray together and say, God, bring it into our city. And there's another thing about revival, that revival shouldn't just happen in our church. It ought to happen in our city. Revival ought to not just happen in our worship. It ought to happen in our culture. It ought to change things. It ought to impact the world that we're living in. When we have revival, Hope Valley's not going to look the same. The revival that God wants to bring, Hope Valley's not going to look the same. Tulsa isn't going to look the same. It's going to change things. I was I am all over the board, but just stay with me. Y'all stay focused even if I'm not. I was reading an article just this past week. It's in Charisma. I had an electronic link to it. It was written by one of our pastors in our denomination who pastors up in Coffeyville. And I hadn't heard about this. Maybe some of you heard it, but there's a revival that's breaking out in Coffeyville, Kansas right now. And he's writing about it, and it's these pastors who are getting together, sounds kind of familiar, and they're praying for a revival, and things are beginning to happen. Things are beginning to shake. And I'm just kind of remembering, you know, it was about 100 years ago, that Azusa Street revival. But how many of you know that before there was Azusa Street in California, there was this little school up in Kansas with a guy by the name of Charles Parham, where the Holy Spirit started being poured out. Pentecost actually started in Kansas, y'all. And I'm just like, is this second move? Is this it? You know, because that's just about 60 miles up the way. It wouldn't take long to run up there and put a torch in that and bring it back to Tulsa, you know, and light some fire here. I'm just talking today, y'all. I'm just talking to you out of my heart because I am hungry. I want to see the move of God, and I believe that God wants to do something in our city. He wants to do something in our church. He wants to do something in our families. He wants to do something in our lives. And I just want to encourage you, if you're not going to be at CR tonight, and I know a lot of you are, but if you're not going to be here for CR tonight, I encourage you to join me over in Broken Arrow tonight at the Harvest Church. And we're coming together, pastors that are coming together. We're praying in. We're praying for the revival because Jesus says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And we're not going to experience what God wants to happen until we're serious about prayer. Thirdly, we begin to see it move from a house of purity to a house of prayer to a house of power. Verse 14 says, the blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed. There was a succession in which this happened. It was Jesus drives out all the stuff. He declares what the house is going to be, and then it begins to manifest. The power of God begins to be on display. Blind and lame. You know, it's kind of interesting. Once you get all of the other junk out of the way, there's room for the blind and the lame to come in. Once you get all the money changers out of the way, once you get all of the animals that don't belong here out of the way, once you get rid of all those tables, then there was room for the blind and the lame to come in. Jesus made room. How many of you know that there's some blind and some lame and some broken people who need the move of the Spirit of God in their lives? They need healing in their lives. They need a manifestation of the power of God to work in their lives. I'm telling you, when we begin to experience revival, it's not just going to be a nice little, you know, happy time. I believe that we're going to see the signs and the wonders and the miracles that God wants to have. I mean, he says these signs are going to follow them that believe. We don't need to be chasing the miracles. We need to be causing the miracles because we have pressed into God. We've got the clutter out of our lives. We're walking in a place of holiness where the Holy Spirit can begin to move and work in us, but then not just in us, but through us to touch others in this broken world that we're living in. That's what God is calling Spirit Life Church. I'm telling you, there are so many prophecies over this house, over this city, yes, but over this very house. I was talking to somebody after the first service this morning, and they remembered, and I don't know how far back this goes, Pastor Norman, you might have been here, I don't even remember. It was some kind of revival service. He says, I remember it happened twice, like a revival apart or weeks apart or whatever it was, but it was like somebody over in this side of the church that was prophesying how that there would be such a move of the Spirit of the Lord, a releasing of signs and wonders and miracles and people being healed, that folks from all over the world were coming here to experience what God was doing. Now, I'm just like, let it be, Lord. I just want to say an amen to that, just a so be it to that. I wasn't here to hear that word, but I don't know that it's been fulfilled yet, so Lord, bring it to pass. Let it happen. But I do believe, and I'm just bold enough to just declare, we're going to see it right here in this house, the signs, the wonders, the miracles, the moving of God. And I'm not talking about something that man's making up, something that we're trying to work up in the flesh and make it happen. I'm talking about a real move of the Spirit of God. In my mind, the way I see it is, yeah, people get healed, and it's not necessarily because they came down to the front and we laid hands on them or did whatever, anointed them with oil. I just believe that people can just walk onto the premises and suddenly just be healed by the power of God that's at work. No man gets any glory. It's just God, but it's the power of the Lord. And so we see that happening here, that Jesus begins to let the manifestations of healing, the power begins to be displayed, and these blind and these lame are healed. And then that brings us to the final point, and that is when we have truly become a house of purity, a house of prayer, and a house of power, we will be a house of praise. We'll be a house of praise. I was listening to that last song that they were just singing, or one of those songs. There were so many of them, but it was just this moving of the Spirit of the Lord and this praise, this worship. You were in it. You were caught up. You experienced that encouragement to praise the Lord. And I could hear you shouting all over this place, just getting excited about worship. Because I'm telling you, when you begin to experience the power of the Lord, it's easy to praise God. Now, in the story that we read, we find that there's some Pharisees in the house. And they don't like what's going on, and they're all critical of it and saying, you know, I don't know that that's all ought to be happening. These kids running around singing Hosanna, that's looks kind of out of order to me. Let me tell you a story. I'm going to tell you a story, and I'm going to close. I was in Costa Rica. It's been, 30 years ago. My first missions trip, first time ever being out of the country. I was in Costa Rica. We were in this church down in San Jose, in the capital of Costa Rica. And the worship began, the service started. And the next thing I know, the people just came down and just filled the front. By the way, if anybody, while we're having worship, you just feel like there ain't enough room for you in your seats and you just want to come down to the altars and just worship the Lord, that is entirely okay. That's just entirely okay, all right? Just throwing that out there. And so that's happening. But then I look and I see that there are these little kids that are mixed in with these adults that are, you know, the adults that are doing the real worship, and the little kids, they're just down there just kind of mimicking what the adults are doing. And a Pharisee showed up in the church. It was me. And I looked at that, and I was just like, oh, that's just out of order, you know. And I'm just an American, and I know how it's supposed to be, and I don't know why these Hispanics down here are allowing this to go on. This is just, and man, the Holy Spirit slapped me upside the head. Oh, he got me so good. And he immediately brought this very scripture. Have you not heard, out of the mouths of sucklings and babes have I perfected praise? And I went, oh, I am so sorry, God. And all of a sudden, I saw it through a whole different lens, and it was beautiful. It was beautiful. Listen, yeah, they're Pharisees. They've always been around, and they're probably always will be around. But here's what I know. There's some real children of God, too. How many of you, you're a real child of God? It's like when God starts moving, I can't help it. I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to say a hallelujah. I'm going to do something. I can't just sit here and be quiet, because God has been too good to me to just sit back and not give him the praise. Hallelujah. Why don't you just stand with me this morning? Hallelujah. Come on. Why don't you just begin to just praise the Lord in this house? Just begin to praise the Lord in this house. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, we praise you, Lord. Oh, we just magnify your name. Lord, you are a good God, and we worship you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. God, we love you, Jesus. Lord, we're hungry. We are hungry today. We are hungry for a moving of the Spirit of the Lord. And God, we don't know necessarily everything that's going to be required, but God, we just write the blank check and sign it and say, yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus. Work in me. Work through me. Lord, start by purging us, purifying us, cleansing us, God. Lord, if there's stuff in our life, if there's spiritual clutter in our life, it's getting between us and what you want to do. It's standing in the way of you moving in our lives like you want to move. Lord, we repent. Lord, we repent. Lord, cleanse us, Holy Spirit. Get it out, Lord. Bad attitudes. Lord, whatever it might be, the words that are coming out of our mouth that are displeasing to you, Father, attitudes of our heart, Lord, that are wrong in your sight, Lord, outright sin, whatever it might be, God, would you cleanse us, Holy Spirit? Would you cleanse us, Holy Spirit? Would you wash us today? We're your children and we love you. And Lord, for some of us, it's kind of like, yeah, there was a time when I had been cleansed. But then, like in the first cleansing of the temple to the second cleansing, some things had slipped back in that didn't need to be there. There was a time in my life where I'd surrendered it all to you, but I've let some stuff creep back in. And now the garage is cluttered with spiritual junk. It's getting in the way and it's tripping me up. God, would you cleanse me today? Cleanse me today, Holy Spirit. If that's you, just cry out. Just be honest before the Lord as we stand here. Just be real before the Lord. He knows. He's already looked inside your garage. He knows what's in there. You're not hiding anything by just putting the door down. You're not hiding anything from Him. He knows what's there. It needs to be cleaned out. Just get real with Him right now. Lord, would you make us a house of purity today? Lord, to where we're not saying bless our mess, but Lord, we're just saying cleanse our mess. Cleanse it, Lord. Cleanse us, Lord. Set us right with you. Cause us to get back to the original purpose for which we were designed, which was to walk with you and to talk with you, to have fellowship with you, to commune with you. Lord, to be a house of prayer. Lord, restore it. Restore it, Lord. Father, if we've let the busyness of life push out the time that we need to spend with you, the priority that we should be making of fellowshipping with you, talking to you, praying, Lord. God, if we've let that happen, again, we repent and we ask you to forgive us, Lord. And Lord, restore us back. Make us the people of prayer. Lord, we're not just saying, God, fix the messes that we've made of our lives, but Lord, we're seeking your face so that we can walk in the paths that you've ordained for us. Lord, make us a house of power. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, we want this place to be a place that's known as a place where the signs and the wonders and the miracles of God take place. But Lord, not just this local place of fellowship, not just this expression of your church. Lord, we pray for a moving of the Spirit of the Lord across our city. God, for revival, powerful move of God, Lord, that would spread across our nation. Lord, that would be such a power move of the Lord that even the Pharisees would have to admit, that's God. That's the Spirit of God moving. We can't explain it away. Lord, to where our nation is brought to its knees and in repentance, Lord. Father, bring about a revival. And Lord, let your people praise you like you deserve to be praised. Let the nations rise up and praise you as you deserve to be praised. And we thank you, Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask this morning if maybe there's some people in this house today that would say, my revival really needs to start with my salvation. I need to be saved. I need to be born again. I've been living life on my own terms, trying to do things my own way, making my own decision, and I've made a mess of everything. And I'm ready to surrender it all to Jesus and ask Him to come into my heart and be my Lord, be my Savior, to wash me, forgive me, and cleanse me, and save me. And if that's you this morning, you need to be born again. You need to be saved. You need a relationship with Jesus. There's no better time than right now. And I'd love to pray for you. If you just raise your hand, I'll know who you are. I want to pray for you. If you know that you need Jesus in your life, you need to be saved today, would you raise your hand? Anyone in this place? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else this morning? Yes. Anyone else this morning? Anybody else? Yes. Maybe there's some that are watching online. This is spoken to you, and you know that you need Jesus in your life. You can pray right along with us. I want us in this house today. Would you all just join with me in prayer if you raised your hand or if you didn't, but you know you need Jesus? Pray this prayer. Pray it out of your heart. Listen, it's not the words that come out of your lips that's going to make the difference. It's the prayer that's coming out of your heart. It's going to change your life as you surrender to Jesus. So just everyone, would you just repeat this prayer after me as we pray together? Dear Jesus, we come to you now and we confess we're sinners. I need you, Jesus. Come into my life. Wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive me of all my sin. I make the choice to repent, to turn away from my old life and to you. So come into my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. Help me to live for you for the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for answering my prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. And I declare by faith that I am a child of God and I'm on my way to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Come on, church, celebrate. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to ask our prayer team if you'll come and join me down at the front. Listen, if you just prayed that prayer and asked Jesus into your life, we want to help you to walk with the Lord. Would you come down, see one of our prayer team members, just share. You know, the Bible talks about the importance of sharing our faith, being willing to confess Him before men. In fact, Jesus says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. But if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. So there's an important step that we need to confess to one another and tell other people what Jesus has done for us. So if you made that decision, if you've asked Jesus into your heart, I invite you, please come and let us know that. But also, if you're here today and you've got any prayer need in your life, physically, spiritually, financially, relationally, whatever it might be, if there's a hurt in your life and you've not yet received what you need from the Lord, come down and let us pray with you. Father, we love you. We thank you for what you're doing in this house, what you're doing in our lives. We give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for it. God, help us to be a house of purity, a house of prayer, a house of power, a house of praise. And to you be all the glory. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. God bless you.